Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Hey, hey, hey. Do you guys like our new intro? Welcome so much for joining us on At Home with Victoria. I'm Victoria Gaither, television journalist, media personality, and host, along with my radio husband, Michael. We've been away too long. You see, I can't even talk
really.
Anymore. I don't mind being a husband. Either I need to get back into the swing of things, or I need to have a glass of wine, as you suggested to our first guest tonight.
Our first guest tonight, sorry, I dropped out a little bit here, is Alex Ruiz. Alex Ruiz is a voiceover specialist and illustrator. And Vic, how did you end up finding Alex?
Well, it's interesting because Patricia Clark is an actress and author and writer and all that good stuff. So somehow we connected on Facebook, and she's got this book that she basically just finished, and it focuses on tweens. So she's got two girls, or one girl herself, you know, kind of tweens go through their drama. So she basically decided that, hey, I'm going to write a book about it. Plus she has a background in social psychology as well. So she was supposed to be on tonight, but I believe she had some type of acting gig because she does a lot of commercials and stuff. So she wasn't able to come on, but Alex Ruiz is also connected with Patricia because he's the illustrator for her book called Two. So that is how I met Alex, and you guys are going to love him. I mean, this guy, Michael, is like a multitasker. He does a little bit of everything. He's worked for Disney. He's an illustrator. He also is a professional caricature voiceover artist. I mean, Michael, the guy just does a lot.
Well, let's bring him on. Alex Ruiz, welcome to the show. First time at Home with Victoria. We're taking your At Home with Victoria virginity, so to speak. But welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for inviting me to the show.
Fantastic illustrations in the book. I was able to go ahead and leaf through it online, and I tell you, you've got mad skills, my friend.
Well, thank you. The book was actually illustrated in a particular style, of course, because she wanted it to... The book is kind of written like in a Dr. Seuss sing-songy style, and mm-hmm. So I kind of went with the Dr. Seuss style of drawing the characters.
Wow.
And it's always fun to include real-world backgrounds with illustrated characters. So I did a lot of that for the book. And there's a lot of Chicago, a lot of other different world backgrounds that are in the book.
Well, Alex, I wanted to switch a little bit and talk about just briefly your time at Disney. That must be an amazing place to work if you're a illustrator and cartoonist. What was your experience like there?
It was the best job I've ever had,
really?
Except for the job I created for myself.
Gotcha.
It was the job I dreamed of having since I was 7 years old. And mm-hmm. when I got the job, nobody believed that I got the job. I was very persistent. Every year that I was in school, I sent my portfolio into Disney, and I never got a response back. And then one year when they decided that they were going to build a amusement park here in Chicago, they were going to do an amusement park outside of Florida or California, a mm-hmm. Disney Quest, which is an indoor theme park, you know, with virtual mm-hmm. reality rides and things of that nature. They were looking for animators to teach in their animation academy. And so I applied for the job. They brought me in for an interview, and they asked me to draw Mickey.
Mm-hmm.
And they timed me. And they were shocked to find out that I had the fastest time in drawing Mickey Mouse.
Wow.
Well, I got hired on the spot and became the lead animation academy instructor. I was the one that trained the animators to teach the classes. So I was the boss of bosses, as it were, and it was fun. It was an enjoyable job. I never had a sad moment there. I was happy going to work every day. Not everybody could say, you know, so it was a great job.
No, I totally agree. Not everyone can say that except for Michael Kay. With Ed Home with Victoria, right, Michael?
Absolutely. But, buddy, you started off in theater and stuff. Godspell, you played Jesus in Godspell at St. Mark's Summer Theater in Chicago. You played Scarecrow in The Wiz. You were in Joseph of the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Does theater really help you translate into more of an illustrator that way? I mean, I'm sure the mind has to be working overtime.
Well, it's a little of everything. You know, theater helped me to develop my vocal prowess, as it were. It helped me to be more organized in my thought process, you know, and, you know, memorize things that I usually have to memorize a lot of dialogue for a lot of animated projects that I work on my own. And that's how I develop my skills. I used to do, you know, as a child, I used to do little shows. You know how kids would get together and, you know, the family would get together for a family reunion or a party, and they'd say, okay, kid, do something.
Right.
And, you know, the kids would, and they'd start singing, or they'd do a dance routine, or they'd do a comedy skit or whatever it would be. And that's really where I got my start. I got my start being criticized by my relatives. So, and they're my best critics, so I value their criticism.
God, that is so funny you'd say that, because my mother used to do that to me too. Not that I'm hilarious like you, but I mean, she would go ahead when the relatives were around. She would say something like, "Michael, say something funny. Come on. Oh, he does this thing that's so funny. Just go ahead and do this." And it's like, "Mom, you know, I'm at that age. I couldn't even drink. You know, so it's not like I, you know, got all liquored up and thought, hey, let's, you know, cut up and act funny." But I find it so funny that your critics were your relatives as well.
Oh, yeah, I used to do that all the time. And I used to, you know, where I lived, where I grew up, in the Bronx in New York. And so you had to have some kind of skill, you know, of some kind of, you know, whether it was sports or whether it was, you know, art or anything. Because, you know, a lot of times you'd get chased home from school. And, you know, I would tell people, I'm not afraid of you. I like to run. So
right.
That was one of the things that was just me. It was part of me. I will always throw little quips at people. And the building that we lived in, on one side was an Italian pizzeria, and on the other side was a Jewish delicatessen. And so I would pick up the accent, the voices, the patois of people that were in there. You know, like the nice Jewish couple that owned the delicatessen, they would always be like, "Very advanced, you look hungry, I could snap your neck like a chicken. You have to eat something. Have a nice bowl of gefilte fish, maybe it's chicken nuts about soup. How about a pastrami sandwich on novel rye with a little mustard and a kosher dill?" And I picked all that stuff up as a kid. I was walking around, I spoke more Yiddish than some of the Jewish people that went into the delicatessen. I was like,
that is funny.
"Yeah, that's too schmaltzy for you to be wearing. You look like a schmuck today." You know, and people are looking at me like, "Excuse me, but aren't you Puerto Rican?" Like, yeah, but I hang out at the deli. I would go after school and hang out at the deli and have a pastrami sandwich. Or I'd go to the pizzeria and have a slice of pizza. You know, and the guys in there were like, "Hey, yo, toss me a slice over here for this kid. Come on, bring it over here, kid. You want a cola? You want a pop, kid? A soda? Something cold? Look at this kid over here. Bring it over here to the kid." And they would call me the kid. He's the kid. You know, and that's where I picked it all up from. You know, and I always picked up stuff from my favorite people. You know, my mother. I'm going to say this about my mom, and I know she always goes, "No, don't tell people this." My mom sounds like the Puerto Rican Marge Simpson.
Does she?
And my dad, who has a very thick Spanish accent, would say stuff like, he would say stuff to me, like when I would come home from school, and when I got my first black eye, my first and only black eye ever, he says to me, "Next time, somebody train you You curl up your fins and you punch him in the mouth. What? You punch him in the mouth. You mean no. Mouth there? That's what I said. Punch him in the mouth. And my mom would say stuff like, try to find the good in people. Try to find the good. You know, so it's like I had the four opposite, you know.
Well, do your Marge Simpson.
Michael,
he does a really fun Marge Simpson. Do your Marge Simpson, Alex, before
no,
we start talking about your sitcom that you're working on.
I'm not going to do that today. Michael, tell her to stop making me do Marge.
Oh, my Lord. I'm laughing so hard here. I'm tearing
up. I know. But listen, we got to switch because I don't want to run out of time without you talking about your sitcom and the project that you're working on. So I sort of know a lot about it, but give us the abbreviated version and also tell everybody how they can follow you.
How they can follow me? Well, I'm on Facebook, Alex Ruiz Animator. Go figure. I have several pages that I also administrate because people say to me, Alex, why don't you join my team and administrate the page for us, because I don't have a problem with posting stuff every day for some reason.
Right.
I don't know why. But my animation company is called The Real Casa de Cuckoo, which literally translates to the Nut House, because I worked in a psych hospital for 10 years as a therapist. So I've done a variety of things in my life. I also have my children's book page, which is Mingy Mungus, which is The Legend of the Littlest Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also the administrator on the Sisters Without Drama Club page for Two, which is Patricia Clark's book. I'm also the executive director for the Little Walter Foundation, which is a non-for-profit teaching children music and the arts.
Wow.
Totally
right.
Free and pro bono for kids. In Chicago.
Wonderful.
That's lovely.
Wonderful. So talk about your sitcom. Talk about the project you're working on.
Oh, my sitcom. That's my other page. It's called Draw to You. It's sort of an semi-autobiographical, I guess you could say, because it's about an animator who has had a rough run in life with relationships, is recently divorced, and because of his belief in karma and always, you know, trying to find the good in people and trying to find the positive in life, he runs into some friends that are also experiencing troubles in relationships. So it's kind of like a Dr. Phil session with the cast of The Big Bang Theory. I can attribute it to that. You know, so it's in that sort of same realm. But the five friends find the good in each other, and they help each other through life's quirks.
Mm-hmm.
And the tagline is the artistry of learning the artistry of relationships, and that's why it's called Drawn to You, the double entendre of you're drawn to someone, but you're sketching them out as well as sketching yourself out to them so that they see the big picture.
Gotcha.
Fantastic.
Gotcha.
Wow.
And when do you expect that's going to be ready for folks to see?
Well, we're going to be filming in about 2 weeks at several different locations in Chicago, one of which is one of my favorite restaurants because one of the characters is a chef, and I'm a former sous chef also. So I went to my favorite restaurant and I asked them, would they be interested in having us come in and allowing us to film in the restaurant, and they jumped at the chance. They were like, we love the idea, we love the concept of the show, and, we're catering to kids at the university and people in the Hyde Park community, which is the restaurant is like five minutes from President Obama's house in Chicago.
Oh, cool.
And so it's a very eclectic neighborhood. The food is phenomenal. It's an Asian and Spanish fusion. So it's very, very interesting, and it's very, very refreshing food. And it's an awesome place, and I couldn't pick a better place to film some of the scenes at. And there are several other places that we'll be filming at in the Chicagoland area. We'll be filming in the suburbs in Hinsdale and Oak Park, you know, different areas, you know, because mm-hmm. we want to get a feel to the characters. And we'll also be doing a little bit of what we call Robert Rodriguez kamikaze filming. We'll be doing some things downtown. And, of course, we'll be chased by the police saying, "You don't have a permit to film here. Get out of here." You know, so we'll have to deal with that, too. But we're well prepared. And
you're
yeah, we're well prepared for anything like that, because I've done stuff like that before when I went to college for my degree in media arts and animation. We did stuff like that. We would film footage, and then we'd see the security guards and the police coming, and we'd run the other way. Everybody, split up, run that way, you run that way, you run that way.
Michael and I do that now, so we certainly understand that so
yes,
much. But listen, Alex, we've got your information inside our chat room. Our producer, Shannon, has been in there, and she's put your links and all of your websites and stuff down. So listen, when it's actually finished, if you we'll follow you, but make sure you connect with me and send a link and all of that so that we can actually view it and take a look at it, because I can't wait, you know, to see it.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Absolutely.
Are you doing
the voices
as well, Alex?
Since the project is basically based on an animator developing a multimedia entertainment company, I'll be doing some voiceover. I have some other artists that are non-union actors, because all the actors that are on the project and all the PAs and the director and the writers, they're all non-union.
Wow.
And so we did it like that because I've never been a union guy anyway. You know, I didn't have to join a union when I worked for Disney, so. But now it's like it's so important to be union because you get more gigs that way. You get a speaking role. You get more face time on camera. And I figured, you know, these people that I met during a commercial shoot that are the majority of the people that are in the project, they were so interesting to me. And I said, you know what, you've got a good face for television. I don't know why they say, we're looking for the average-looking person, and they pick the long, flowing hair, blonde,
right.
and the very chiseled-featured man. And I don't know anybody that looks like that.
Gotcha.
Most of the people I know are, you know, frumpy and average-looking, and they wear glasses like I do, and, you know.
Gotcha.
And like to wear jeans, you know. So.
Alex, listen, we've got to wrap up only because we've got to get on to the next guest. But we would love to have you back, and thank you so much for just dropping in tonight, sort of unexpected. Well, not unexpected, but sort of at late notice. And we'll continue to follow you, and you and I will continue to chat. And again, thank you so much for taking the time to call in tonight. We appreciate
it. Thank you for having me.
Take care, Alex.
It was very fun. Thank you so much. Take care.
Take care.
The voiceovers
that he
does, aren't they fun?
I know. It's horrible. I'm sitting here sweating and laughing at the same time. He sounds exactly like Marge Simpson.
He does, doesn't he? He sounds exactly like Marge. When I spoke with him earlier today and he kind of gave me a taste of it, I thought, this is some good stuff. And then he sent me one of his reels where he does even more voiceover, caricature voiceover work. And, he's just amazing. So we're going to continue to follow him. But, Michael, we have been crazy busy. So although we've taken time off this summer, we've had a lot of promotional events that we have gone to. And as a result of that, we have a lot of fall shows that have come out of those events. And you want to talk about a few divas? And all of
well,
the
yes,
stuff,
I want to go ahead and talk about a few things, actually. I'm very, very thrilled to go ahead and announce that next Wednesday we'll be having on the likes of Joan Rivers, Dolly Parton, Liza Minnelli, Prince, Patti LaBelle, and the one and only J-Lo, courtesy of Divas Do AC. Victoria and I attended this event in Atlantic City. It's the female impersonators who are stellar. I will say stellar. I've seen a lot of drag in my life, but these are artists or artistes. Wouldn't you agree, Vic? I mean, I tell you, Liza blew me away. And they don't really do songs from the artists. They do excerpts from the artist's concert. So it's even hard to lip sync that right on the money. So I'm thrilled to be going ahead and be talking with all the likes of them, and that's going to be coming up next Wednesday evening. But I also want to go ahead and mention someone. I met Joe Williams, who's a friend of Mike Cullop's, actually. Mike Cullop has been traveling all over the U.S. of A, down into Georgia, finding some fantastic talent, and he found me, Alex Guthrie. Alex Guthrie is a Georgian, 20 years old, and voice of an angel, guitar skills like crazy. But they, in turn, introduced me to a Mr. Joe Williams. Now, Mr. Joe Williams is like everybody working a hard job, trying to go ahead and make ends meet. He was laid off from work last year, and he's Icelandic by nature, so he thought maybe I would go ahead and take some time off and visit my family. His mother still lives there and everything like that. But he's taken it one step further, Vic. He is selling everything. All he's taking with him is his camera, his video camera. He's a filmmaker and a photographer. And he's leaving from here December 18th, going into Iceland to spend some time with family. And then there's an organization called Couchsurfing.com. It's an international warehouse of international travelers that open up their sofas to other travelers. So with a very limited budget, he's not a rich man, he says, besides his family and his friends, but he will be going ahead with his backpack only and taking 2 years, but a year and a half to 2 years off, traveling all through Europe and to all the corners of the world. He says that his new address is the world, so to speak, but he is not only going to be blogging about it and sending up videos on YouTube about it, but he's actually committed to join At Home with Victoria monthly or whatever, we'll figure it out later on, but he's going to be a constant contributor on his worldwide travels. He believes that basically, you know how everybody talks about karma, karma comes back to you, the kindness that you give. He's going to go ahead and put that forward and see what he gets back. And I get goosebumps even talking about it because, Vic, you know that I am not the Indiana Jones type of person. I would last probably a week and a half, maybe an hour and a half outside the airport before I broke down and cry and I couldn't get a hotel.
Right.
But this guy is really taking it to the extreme. You can follow him on Facebook. His Facebook page is called Journey of a Lifetime, and he'll be joining us as a regular contributor through 2014. So I'm so thrilled. I mean, could you imagine having the guts to do that, sell everything and just backpack around the world?
Well, it is. I mean, it is definitely gutsy, and I'm sure probably a personal challenge that he wants to see if he can do. And in line with him, there's another young man who lives in the Philadelphia area. He's actually a personal trainer, and he's decided that he wants to do contributing but raise money for pediatric and cancer kids. So he is actually going to leave to go to, I believe it's San Diego or San Francisco, either one of those cities in California, and he's going to walk from there all the way back to the Philadelphia area in an effort to raise money. So along with Joe, he's another person that that we're going to be following. But it will be interesting. I suspect with Joe, it would be good if we can get just a monthly update from wherever he is, and then he can kind of tell us about, you know, his experience and how it's working out for him. Because I know emotionally, you know, to go through something like that and being in different countries and, you know, having to really rely upon strangers, in effect, to be there for you and to help you out. So, yeah, it sounds like something that's absolutely amazing. I basically caved this summer when the doc and I went to do a bonfire and my hot dogs fell inside the sink. We were trying to roast the hot dogs. We had a beautiful bonfire. You know, I know nothing about this. I'm not like an outdoors person. So, you know, the damn hot dogs fell inside the sand, so we sat there hungry until, you know, we blew the bonfire out and all that stuff and had to pack up and leave. So I knew that day that, you know, those things just weren't made for me. Now, I'm sure if I was forced and I had no choice, I could probably manage it. But, you know, I freaked out when I couldn't eat my little hot dog that fell in the sand. So I can't imagine what...
We all followed the recent tragedy of the marinated turkey legs on Facebook, which, you know, definitely that, you know, I understand. I mean, I when I posted, I would have gobbled them up. I certainly would have because I know Gong is a great cook. But
I
found it so funny. You felt like a cavewoman, like Wilma Flintstone chewing on this leg.
Yes. What Michael is referring to is if anyone knows me personally, you will know because I will state this from time to time whenever I have a chance. That turkey legs and drumsticks intimidate me. The sheer size of them, I cannot handle. So the doc, who happens to have a cooking show, and he's a great, excellent cook, made some turkey legs, and the sauce and everything was nice, but I looked at it, I picked it up, and Michael, I just couldn't do it. So I was hungry pretty much for the next 3 hours until I decided to fix something else for myself.
Well,
but,
you
yeah,
should just go to your room with no dinner.
Yeah, I feel like you know, if you remember seeing the Flintstones and they would eat those big like brontosaurus burgers and stuff on their car. I feel like that. So I can't seem to bring myself to do it. But in any event, so yeah, we've got some really cool shows. So I think the shows that we have, Michael, sort of range from Joe to, you know, taking on this new journey and selling everything and just to kind of see what life has to offer for him and putting himself out there in the universe. To the divas that we had the opportunity to see live and on stage, and they're going to be here to talk about their new programs, you know, to just the nonprofits that we always get on to talk about the wonderful things that they're doing for their communities. And speaking of nonprofit, before our next guest comes on, Michael, you must talk about Food and Friends and your experience visiting that nonprofit in D.C.
Well, Food and Friends is a fantastic organization. Actually, I think it was today that Janelle Walker, correct?
Mm-hmm. Walker.
Yeah, Janelle Walker went ahead and posted that. President Obama, I think, was there either today or a little while back, but he was helping out with Food and Friends. Food and Friends is a fantastic organization delivering a Meals on Wheels sort of a thing, but they deliver nutritional meal plans and groceries to shut-ins and people with breast cancer, AIDS, in the hospice organization, and she was wonderful enough to go ahead and take us through a tour of it while we were in D.C. And, I mean, granted, my eyes were simply welling up with tears because everything becomes a little more personal when you have someone mm-hmm. who's gone through hospice. Want to give personal thanks and personal shout-out to Nancy Tumas, whose father passed away this morning,
yeah.
And he was in hospice as well. But it was a fantastic learning experience. The amount of volunteerism that goes on, the amount of work that Janelle does for this organization, she's such a brilliant young woman. And taking such good care of such a wide region. I thought it was just basically D.C. proper. But these Food with Friends goes to the whole DMV area. So the 6 hours away, these people who are shut in, those groceries are delivered to a local church. That those groceries are divided up with volunteers and delivered to the homes. So I just want to give a huge shout-out. I get goosebumps even talking about it, but Food with Friends in the D.C. area is one of the finest organizations and so well organized, my God, to communicate with the physicians and the patients to deliver the right meal plans for, say, diabetics, those on Coumadin, mm-hmm. those with HIV resistance and stuff. It was fantastic, Victoria. I can't thank you enough. All three of us, Tafiq Akir from Los Angeles, Victoria Gaither, and myself had tears the entire tour. And it was a lovely hour-and-a-half tour, and I have such huge respect for her. And at home with Victoria, will continue to work with them until we die, because that is just a great – I can't thank you enough, Victoria. That was stunning to visit.
Yeah, it is a wonderful organization. Of course, I'm my personal relationship with it is that my brother is one of the chefs there. And he's been there for over 10 years. Jerry is my brother's name. So, yeah, it's a family affair. And, you know, despite that my brother works for the organization, even if he didn't work for the organization, it's just a great organization. And the amount of work that they do in the DMV area, you know, you cannot put a price tag on any of that. And then speaking of Tafik, Tafik was in the D.C. area to promote his fitness video, and it went well. He did demonstrations. He signed autographs. He went to talk to people about health and fitness. He got a chance to tour the city. So I think he was very impressed with D.C. The Sit with Socialites event went well. So D.C. really gave him just a nice welcoming, you know, and I really believe that he left Washington just thinking, wow, what a cool place. And he actually said to me, I don't plan on leaving L.A., but if I had to leave L.A. and go somewhere else to live, he goes, I could easily see myself living in Washington. So that was absolutely awesome. But, Michael, do we have our next guest on the line? Are we going to listen to some music? What's going on?
We do. Bobby Blue out of Brooklyn, a fantastic new vocalist. Not new vocalist. I mean, I've known him for a while, but Vic, you're going to love him. We're going to go back to a little bit of music from his new album called Sunshine. That the entire album is actually available for a free download at ilovebobbyblue.com. Check the chat room for that link. But, yeah, this is Bobby Blue with Sunshine. When we get back, Bobby Blue is going to be sitting in the house. Don't go away. Out to the chat room. Bob Sipes joining us from Bear, Delaware. Shannon Sibbold acting as a chat room producer all the way from the UK. But Bobby Blue is, I know what you're going to say, sounds like a girl. Okay, let's just go ahead and get this out of the way. The man has a 4-octave vocal range. Joining us tonight from Brooklyn, New York. Bobby, I can't tell you, after all the sunshine we had in the summer, that song makes me happier. How are you this evening? Welcome to An Omer Victoria.
I'm great, Michael. Hi, how you doing?
We're doing fine. Vic, did you enjoy this song? Doesn't that song want to make you dance?
I know, Bobby. Thank you so much for being here. And, yes, you kind of feel like you want to dance, and literally you feel like the warm sun just shining all over your face. Like, that's really a happy, happy song.
That makes me so happy to hear you say that. You don't even know. It brings a little bit of a tear to my eye. It's a really special song as far as, like, having written it and going through the process of writing it. That song is, I have to say, without having to sound arrogant or self-absorbed, I watch the video every day myself. So it makes me happy, too. I love it, too. It comes from an inner light. That I just can't seem to shake.
Yeah. Bob, well, tell us a little bit about exactly how you started off singing and everything like that. I mean, this is obviously a trained voice, a four-octave vocal range. You've been compared to Sinead O'Connor and Karen Carpenter. How did everything start for a Mr. Bobby Blue?
I don't really know if it's so trained. I guess it was my very first memory is when my mother is from Costa Rica, and once when I was about 4 years old, my tío was here, my uncle from Costa Rica, he was visiting, and he put on the Rhinestone Cowboy by Glen Campbell. And he doesn't know a word of what it's saying, but he knew that I loved the song when back then, and he puts it on. And he goes, "Oh, stand there and sing." And I sang it, and I just remember. I don't know how at 4 years old you can comprehend those lyrics, but I felt it. I loved it. I loved singing for him, and I loved doing it. And I don't think at 4 years old my voice was quite developed at that point, but I knew that I loved what I was doing. And my mother still has that cassette still today. She had recorded that.
Wow.
Wow.
You know, and then it just kind of grew from there. I really didn't know I could sing until I was about in second grade, and I had, you know, I had gotten a solo in the Christmas program at school. And I think it was, what's the Christmas song? There's a sheep, and then there's... A sheep herder, and then Whitney Houston did a cover.
Yeah, it'll come to
Away in a Manger.
No, not Away in a Manger. Okay. It has like four sections, and there's like a Northern Star and so forth. And it's because I'm on the radio that I can't remember the name
of
the song.
What
child is it? Exactly.
Right. So, you know, that's kind of where it started, and it just kind of never stopped. And I just kept getting little parts in school performances and stuff, and I just loved what I did. So, kind of, that's where it started.
Bobby, you know, it's interesting because Michael and I have done pretty much, I would say, close to 300 shows. And I want to say I feel like most of the musicians and the artists that come on here on the show, and we always ask the same question. So how is it that, you know, you sort of got started? When did you know that this was what you wanted to do? Michael, I always feel like most of them give us the same answer as Bobby did tonight, and that's kind of like they sort of stumbled into it. Like they didn't really wake up one day saying, oh, I'm going to be an artist, or, oh, I'm going to be a singer. I mean, they really didn't know that they kind of had that talent, and then it was sort of by accident that they figured out that they actually had that talent and then was actually able to develop it. So, Bobby, with that said, I was curious to know, when you actually sit down or your thought process of actually putting together music, what is that creative what's that creativity like for you?
Like the heavens open up for a little amount of time, and I better write it down really quick or the heavens are going to close again.
Mm-hmm. And do those ideas come at any time, or more so in the morning, the afternoon, at night? Is there a particular time?
At the oddest times. I think the absolute most oddest times, and some of those times I won't even mention where I am when some of those times happen. But I remember that, and you can imagine. But I think one of the ones that I remember the most is one of the songs on my record, Go. It was Sunshine, actually, that came to me. I was standing in the subway, and it just came to me. I don't really know how, but ever since I was a little kid, like, I would have these dreams of writing songs, and I would wake up going, oh my gosh, that was a great hook, that was a great catch. And mm-hmm. I would write those down when I was little. And, you know, when you're a kid, you're just learning how to do stuff, or really you're just kind of learning how to do your thing. And I kind
right.
of just came to a point where I was learning how to write those things down. And it wasn't really so much coming to me as a dream, but, like, I don't know, I guess sometimes I get into euphoric states when I'm walking around New York City, or maybe just anywhere. I love exploring, and I think that when I'm in my explorer mode, and I'm not afraid to groove to a song that's on my iPod in public. And
mm-hmm.
if it's not, and most of the time when I have my headphones on, I feel like I'm in a music video. So I've just
mm-hmm.
learned to really, or not learn, but I've just always been natural at kind of really wanting to feel the music whenever it came possible to do so. So
right.
I don't know. It just comes to things like that just come to me, but it generally tends to end up in some sort of euphoric state. And I'm not saying that has anything to do with drugs. I'm not into
right.
drugs, but there is a euphoric state when I love a song or a sound or something, and it usually comes with walking. I don't know. Maybe that house beat, that four on the floor, 120
yeah.
beats per minute, 130 beats per minute,
right.
is the perfect walking, you know, rhythm.
Gotcha. Michael?
Yeah, I'm all familiar with the euphoric state. Mine usually stems from a couple glasses of Chardonnay at 2 o'clock in the morning when I'm surfing YouTube quite accidentally.
Hell
and that
yeah.
is exactly how I found Bobby Blue, because you did a cover of a song that was made famous by a great band called Bread. And that's when I truly fell in love with your artistry, because it's a hard song to sing. I've tried to do it at karaoke,
mm-hmm.
and I've certainly been laughed at. But before we go any further, we're going to listen to Bobby Blue. This is Bobby Blue with If. More with Bobby Blue when we get back. Don't go away. download it, ilovebobbyblue.com. Vic, you know that's one of my favorite songs ever written on the planet. And Bobby, I tell you, wow, you do a brilliant job, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't really continue to talk right now because I think I was
Vic
crying,
is tearing
so.
Up. She always does
yes.
this. Just get used
I'm
to
sorry,
it, Bobby.
Bobby.
Absolutely.
I'm still a little verklempt from you just saying that you felt the sun shining on you. I was kind of just harping on that before. I feel like you really got it, and it's easy to get. So.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, if it was a choice, because I've absolutely fallen in love with the 70s, and I just have, I don't know, this America, Ambrosia, Bread, especially Electric Light Orchestra, amazing bands, such artistry and so much feeling was allowed at that point. Like, we don't get the emotion, I feel like, sometimes anymore in pop music.
Yeah, Bobby, it's funny because in Victoria's car when we're driving, as we do travel a lot and stuff, that's all we listen to is 70s music, and I feel that the 70s music is a really lost era of a lot of fantastic music. Let me ask you a question, though. Why did you decide to do the free download route off ilovebobbyblue.com? Because, I mean, you can easily charge, you know, a decent coin for this. What was your motive behind that?
Well, gee, I mean, I'm not afraid of what's happening today. I realize what's happening today. I do what's happening today. I download music for free, and so does everyone else. And the fact is that I would like to be honest with you. I have to go back just a little bit before I explain that. The singles that were on this album, some of them have already been founded by select DJs and such from either Europe or America, and I was discovered by, not discovered, but like a little label run called Hades Music, put some money and time in me and wanted to turn my stuff into dance remixes. That made this album, the collection of songs, kind of just delayed a little bit. So that's why I've been working on this album for 7 years, because that label wanted only dance songs, which kind of took my attention away of putting it on a whole collection. The reason why also is because of the 7 years came with, you know, wondering whether I should put this song on there or not put song on there. There's a few songs that were left off. And I just feel like I worked really hard, and it would be a really big shame if somebody didn't hear my songs because it cost something. I think that today, and please, I don't mean to offend anyone when I say this, but I think today the one thing that separates the women from the girls, or the men from the boys, as some people might usually say, is that you're either a good performer or you can either perform and make your money and do it the way that it used to be done and survive and just let the music go, let it be free. But mostly I think that performance is going to separate the men from the women, I think that it's like Katy Perry, and I don't mean to pick on anyone in particular, but honestly, as far as New Yorkers, she can't sell a ticket to save her life. But she can sell a damn song like crazy on the radio.
Yeah.
You know, but I just thought it would be a shame. I'm oh my God, I'm criticizing. I'm a horrible person.
I don't think it's a criticism. I just think it, you know, it's a fair sort of a dialogue to have within your industry, because, you know, Michael and I have done many of shows on this, and we'll have to have you back so that you can really get more into this debate, since I see that you're interested in it. You know, sort of artists, whether it's with your music, whether it's with a picture that you paint and you put on Facebook, you know, sort of artists having the rights to their own work versus free downloading versus actually paying for it. And I kind of feel like I find that a lot of the artists that Michael and I have on this show, the reality is, you know, unless you seek them out, unless someone says, hey, Michael or Victoria, this guy, Bobby Blue, is really good. You guys have to listen to his music. he needs to be on your show. I mean, unless you're the type of person like us that's actually going to seek someone out, you know, most people aren't really going to be able, aren't going to be looking for you because either they're listening to whatever is on XM, Sirius, whatever is on their local radio,
right.
The sort of quote-unquote popular, you know, music that we hear all the time. But I think if there's a chance, if I'm fumbling around on the internet and I come across you and I hit play because I saw it on someone else's wall and it's free, oh, you better believe I'm going to download that and put that on my iPod.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sure,
and then,
it would be,
you know,
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say that, yeah, I mean, it would just, like, I guess I'm just repeating myself. It would be a shame if I had done all this work and nobody were to hear it. So I want to make it available, very available. And you have to work with what's going on today. You really do, and you can't be afraid of it. And you just have to go forward. And I still have musician friends online and Facebook going, what can we do about the music industry? I'm just like, well, I guess somebody could pay you to be an artist, or you could just be an artist.
True.
You know, naturally.
Very true. Actually, I posted the dance version of your song, Go, on Facebook today and stuff, and the person we were talking around earlier, Joe Williams, emailed me personally and said, you know, I've got tears in my eyes, this is such a poignant song, which the dance version is very, very good, Bobby, and stuff, but I have the slowed down version of it here, so we're going to go to more music from Bobby Blue. This is Bobby Blue, Go, off his new album, Sunshine. Check him out at ilovebobbyblue.com. When we get back, more with Bobby Blue. Don't go away. available with Go, and again, you can go ahead and download the entire album for free at ilovebobbyblue.com. Bobby, we're running out of time, but I want to go ahead. I want to get one more song in at the end of the show. But
sure,
I can't thank you enough for delivering us into such a what's the term, vocally adept path. There is so much music out there that I receive, and like I said, I'm not going to mention anything, but I receive submissions on Reverb Nation, and I watch television, and I do listen to the radio, and I do have to say, Bobby, that your voice is certainly one that is well worth listening to over and over and over again, and I can't thank you enough,
Michael,
for taking the time out to be with us tonight. Where else can people find you besides ilovebobbyblue.com? I know you're on Facebook.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. I think that's, I don't remember that. But if you go to ilovebobbyblue.com, it leads you to everywhere you need to go, whether it's Facebook or music videos and music and music and music. There are tons of dance remixes of several of the songs, and it's all free, all downloadable for free. It's ilovebobbyblue.com.
Yeah, spoken like a true artist, Bobby. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We're going
Thank
to
you, Michael,
all
for
those,
having
all
me.
Those
Victoria,
links
you're
are
fantastic.
All up in our chat room. And yeah, Bobby, we will be fast friends. And please understand that At Home with Victoria is now your home too. So anytime you got new stuff coming down the hopper, please feel free to go ahead and give me a call, and maybe come back on at any time. Okay?
We're in touch, and thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome,
thank
buddy. You take care. Have a good night.
I appreciate you both. Thank you so much.
That's my new nickname for Bobby is Sunshine. Is every time I
you know
hear
what?
His
That's
name,
perfect.
I'm always, yes, I'm going to think of Sunshine. And you know what's amazing about our show is that before we went on the air, I didn't get a chance to listen to Bobby's music. So I always think it's so cool that when we do our show, I get a chance to listen to the music for the first time, just like our listeners. And I've got to tell you, I am blown away by him. Like
good.
I didn't have any expectations, you know, neither here nor there. But he's awesome. I mean, he is awesome. And then I love his idea that, you know, it would be a shame that all of this work that he put, you know, on that album, and then for people who may not be able to have the money to afford it, could not afford it, so therefore they wouldn't be able to hear it, just to download it for free. I mean, I think that's pretty awesome.
I do, and I think it's so forward-thinking because, of course, you're going to go ahead and download it. Of course, you're going to go ahead and follow him on Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that. And then, for example, for future projects, you know, there's Indiegogo, there's Kickstarters, there's all those things where if no one's listening to you, how good can you be? You know, it's one of those things that it's a catch-22. But I want to thank all of our guests tonight. I want to thank Alex Ruiz for joining us. Go ahead and check out the new book, too, written by Patricia Clark. Go ahead and check Clark, absolutely. And I want to make special mention again to Joe Williams. Check him out on Facebook. His page is called Journey of a Lifetime. I want to mention, actually, too, on the 25th, we're going to be actually welcoming Cynthia Gibb. Cynthia Gibb was in the remake of Gypsy with Bette Midler, and she's going to be joining us on the show on the 25th, promoting her new movie on Lifetime. I want to give a special thanks tonight out to Shelley Ran. Check her out at shelleyran.com. She's actually written a song called The Race is On. 50% of every download goes to the Race for the Cure charity for the Susan G. Komen. So go ahead, download that, pay the dollar, give the 50 cents. It's fantastic. And Shelley did a fantastic job on the new outro. I love the new outro. It's so kicky and it's so new and it's so us, Vic. I can't wait.
Yeah, I do. And for those of you that didn't get a chance to listen to it, I'm going to have Michael, after we close with Bobby's song, to play the new outro so you can get a chance to listen to it. Yes, she did a wonderful job. But I do want to mention, because this is all the buzz on Facebook right now as well as on the news, there's a massive fire on the New Jersey boardwalk, and it's so sad to see basically the Jersey boardwalk just being burned to the ground. Apparently reports say that it started at an ice cream shop, so you guys may want to check out CNN or your local news station. But Governor Christie, of course, has been talking about it, and he just says that he's so sad to see that happening. So basically, you know, the headlines on the news are reading the Jersey Shore inferno. I mean, and the fire is pretty bad. And New Jersey, that state, has just gone through a lot with the hurricane. Was it last year? And now their boardwalk is burning down. I mean, it's very, very sad. So our thoughts and prayers go out with the folks in New Jersey right now. Also, Michael, you mentioned Nancy Tumas, one of our supporters here on At Home with Victoria. Her father passed away. So, Nancy, I want to let you know that we are thinking about you as well. And Michael and I are back next week. But, Michael, we're going to end with Bobby. Then I want you to replay our new open so everyone can get a chance to hear it. So, good night.
I certainly will. Thanks for listening, everybody. For Michael Kay, for Home of Victoria, I'm Michael Kay. And this is Victoria Gaither. Thanks for listening tonight. And this is Bobby Blue with Blue Island. Have a good night, everybody.
Talk about the things I do, putting me down, and I'm always putting up with you. You only talk about the things that I do wrong. Keep it up, baby, oh, pretty soon my love will be gone. Treat me right and show you love me. I never wanted to feel so worthless. Please show you love me. I've got to know that you love me, baby. Baby, I've got this foolish heart. Hope you feel.
Another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.